Great. Well, we've been journeying towards Christmas, accompanied by the stars, looking at those passages in the Bible where God speaks through the imagery of the stars. Last week we were thinking about Abraham. We've already thought about the star leading the Magi. And I guess tonight and through the next days, we'll be thinking about the shepherds under the stars on the hills with the angels in the sky. Last week, I encouraged you to get up early, 7 o'clock in the morning. Just go out in your back garden. Anybody do that? Yeah? Anybody else do that? No? Did you see Venus?
Yeah, I didn't go out deliberately.
Yeah. I did that this morning from the kitchen window, just craning my neck. There it was, bright blue sky this morning. Venus shining out. You go and have a look. It's beautiful this time of the year. And the picture on the screen there is the picture of the night sky. Well, not quite as many stars as this, I have to admit. That was the picture that greeted me walking home from the deacons' meeting a week or so ago. These are some of the main Winster constellations that you will see through the coming few months, filling the darkness of the night sky, or as dark as it gets on the edge of London, that is. But here you go. Orion, the Hunter, Taurus, the Bull, and Gemini, the twins. Oh, and by the way, do you remember a few weeks ago, Sarah O'Shea wrote those prayers on the properties of the stars? Well, that background picture, if she had but known it, which she didn't, she just found it on the web apparently, that was a picture of the Pleiades. And if you want to see the Pleiades, they're there. Those group of seven stars, what we call an open star cluster. Quite new, very big, bright stars. I mean, as you look at the sky like that, it's a bit confusing, isn't it? It just looks like dots in the sky. So you need a map. You know, map of the sky, and people have been making maps of the sky since ancient times. So here's a map of that region of the sky. This is how people cluster those stars together. They've got Orion the Hunter. You see he's got a belt with three stars. He's even got a sword coming off the belt. He's got shoulders. He's got two legs as well. You've got Gemini. You see those two twins next to each other. Stars at the top of the big ones, bright ones, called Castor and Pollux. And then you've got Taurus, the Bull. This is kind of its head. These are the horns up here. Go off the screen. This is the rest of its body here. And you need a map to kind of navigate your way around the sky. And it's pretty easy to do once you get your head round the map. So you can go up from the three stars of Orion lot up to Taurus and up to the Pleiades. That's easy to find. Actually, if you come down from Orion, you come to the star Sirius, which is just peeking up above the horizon now, and we'll get higher and higher as we go through the next few months. That's the brightest star in the sky, twinkles amazingly. This is what you would see. This is what you see every winter. But I have to tell you, there are signs in the sky this week that would have troubled the ancients. If you got up and stayed up and sat in your garden patiently on Thursday night and Friday morning, you would have seen the Geminid meteor storm. Anybody see that? No, that's a problem with astronomy. You have to get up at unearthly hours and stay sitting in a deck chair. In my younger days, during my university days, the Astronomical Society at Leicester, I think it was the Geminids we tried to spot. We went to the observatory. We lay on the ground, and it was frozen. We lay on the ground for about an hour trying to observe and mark the meteors as they came across the sky. Meteors are just little bits of dust and rock that orbit the sun. And every year we go through one of these trails of dust and gas. We go through several of them through the year, about one a month, really. But the Geminids are really good. And they originate, they're called the Geminids because they originate from around where those stars Castor and Pollux are. And they kind of radiate out from that point across the sky. Anybody ever seen a meteor? John has. Paul, you don't look up very much, do you? Paul has. Well, this is what they look like. I mean, you have to be quick. They just flash across the sky. almost catch them in the corner of the eye. This is what a meteor looks like. There you go. That is a meteor. That was one that was taken on Thursday night into Friday. That was taken over the Brecon Beacons in Wales. That, you've got to be good or lucky to catch one of those. You have to wait a long, long time. I remember taking the youth group from my last church to Soul Survivor, and one of the most memorable things, I mean, Soul Survivor has lots of memorable things, but one night after the celebration finished, and they'd come back from all the after-celebration activities about 10:30, 11 at night, we sat there in the darkness at the edge of the Soul Survivor field, and we just looked up. And I sat there on my own for about half an hour looking for meteors, and I saw plenty. And gradually they came back and grabbed their chairs and they started sitting with me until we had about 15 of them watching the skies, something they had never done before that moment. You should try it. It's really magical and it's exciting. But that's not the only thing happening in the skies this week that is unusual. There is a comet there. Can I have a new? You'd get more excited perhaps if you knew what a comet was. A comet. Here you go. Just tonight, in fact, tonight, when you leave the carol service, and if it's not cloudy, you need to find Taurus and Aldebaran. You need to look up to the Pleiades, and just between them, it probably won't be that bright, but there'll be a little fuzzy blob, which is the comet 46P Wittern. It's a comet that circles the sun every 28 years, so it comes round every now and again. But this time it is really bright. It's about the brightest it gets because it's passing very close to the Earth. Now, I don't want to worry you. It's not going to hit us. There's a lot of worry about that these days. It's 7 million miles away, 7 million kilometres away, 30 times the distance of the moon. But it will, you'll be able to see it with the naked eye. Last time, actually, there was a comet in the sky a few years ago. I had to go to... beyond Berkhamsted, onto the hills there, to Ivanhoe Beacon to try and spot the comet. I mean, but this one I think you might be able to see from the back garden. So that picture there is what it looks like in a really big telescope, an 11-inch telescope. So a fuzzy blob of gas, because it's a ball of ice that evaporates when it gets close to the sun, the gas comes off and shines the sunlight. But you can see a slight, faint, hazy trail of gas, which is the gas pushed away by all the particles and wind that comes off the sun. You see it better in binoculars, if you've got a pair of binoculars. Just look. Signs in the heavens that would have troubled people like the wise men and Herod and a lot of people who would have seen them in the days of Jesus. But even without those transient wonders, the night sky is a wonder itself. I was at Cambridge about 10 days ago, visiting and giving a talk to the Faraday Institute. And I'm also reminded when I go to Cambridge of the Cavendish lab, the main physics lab there, has this quotation from the Psalms over its door. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight on them. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Psalm 111, verse 2. Advent, we are pondering the work of the Lord, the preparation that he made for the coming of Jesus through the ages, since the beginning of time. In Hebrews, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed heir of all things. And this is the amazing thing. And through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful words. The preparation for the coming of Jesus, the baby born at Bethlehem, started long before Abraham looked up at the stars of the sky. long before the wise men set out on their journey. It started at the beginning of all things, because amazingly, the child who lies in the manger was the one through whom God made the universe, and the one through whom the universe is sustained. Now, those prayers that Sarah wrote talked about the properties of stars, and not all stars are the same. They might look like little points in the sky, but the stars in that picture are all slightly different, all slightly different sizes. Well, actually not slightly, hugely different sizes. And so many different colours. So in Orion, this is Orion here, look. Think about these two stars here, this one and this one. This one at the bottom here. That is a star called Rigel, 860 light years away. So, I don't know, about 1250, the light set off from that star. It's a big, big star. It's 23 times the size of our sun. Its surface temperature is twice that of our sun. It's 12,000 degrees, and its brightness is equivalent to 120 thousands of our suns. You'd need a lot of sun cream and a lot of sunglasses to even get near to it. That is a huge star, Rigel. And then there's another bright star in Orion called Betelgeuse. A bit closer, 643 light years away. It's a lot colder, actually, than Rigel. It's only 3,500 degrees. That's about half the temperature of our sun. It's as big as 11 suns, so it's huge. Would swallow most of the inner planets of our solar system. And it's the brightness of 100,000 suns. Huge again. These giant stars shine across the cosmos, across centuries of travel time, into our night sky today. And yet, what about this star? Can you see that star there? It doesn't even have a name, actually. It just has a letter, a Greek letter, Chi Orionis. That star's a lot closer, 28 light years away. So the light from that star set out in 1990. And it's a star which is very similar to our sun, a small yellow dwarf star. Hardly noticeable. And probably in our neck of the woods you couldn't see it because of the brightness of the sky. It's an ordinary star. And yet all of those different stars play different roles in God's plans and purposes for the universe. The giant stars and the supergiant stars, they shine brightly, but they don't shine for very long. They might shine for 10, 20, 30 million years, and then they blow up spectacularly in what we call a supernova. And yet in those stars are made the chemicals that make up the chairs that you are sitting on. Without those stars, you'd be sitting on the floor. Well, you wouldn't even be sitting on the floor, because they make up the elements that make up the earth, iron and silicon and the heavier elements, and also the elements that make you and me. They don't live for long, but they're essential for God's purposes. And then there's those ordinary little stars, which are smaller and colder and hardly noticeable from a distance. Well, they live a lot, lot longer, 10 billion years, 100 times longer than the giant stars, long enough for planets to form, for life to be, long enough to sustain life. God's purposes is worked out in both. God makes the universe and sustains the universe through giant and ordinary stars. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, So it's God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. That's true for all of us, but at times we wonder if that's really true in our lives. When we look around us, even as we look at our church, we wonder, what can we really do for God? Our eyes are naturally drawn to the brightest stars in the sky. And today, we use the word star to describe somebody who's at the top of their field, who's really good. We were watching a star on Thursday afternoon in White Christmas, were they? Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye, much brighter in my eyes. We call these people stars and we emulate them. We honour them. We raise them up above other people. And in the Christian world, there are stars too, aren't there? There are star people. There are star churches. Paul might be described as a star of the Christian world. And there is a value to them. There is a value to them that they inspire and they build up the church, but they don't do it for their own glory. Paul might be described as a star, but I doubt it if he would have liked that description. Even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Yes, he was a star, maybe even a superstar of the Christian faith of the early church, and yet he gave his life to sustain others. He didn't hold stardom tightly to himself. He lived his life to build up the church so that the other stars, the small stars, could shine. You see, whatever brightness you have as a follower of Jesus, however bright Christ's light shines in you, in big or small ways, you have a part to play in the purposes of God. You can learn that from the Christian story. We've already had it said this morning by Lisa. Mary, an ordinary girl by the standards of her day. Joseph, just an ordinary tradesman. Nothing marked them out in their community, in their society. And to whom was Jesus first revealed? The shepherds, lowly, distrusted, a reputation for being rogues. And yet when they found the baby in Bethlehem, they went around telling everybody. The Magi. Outsiders and foreigners from a land that oppressed God's people, and yet they come to honor Jesus. And then after his birth, Anna and Simeon, older generation, waiting for God's hope. Simeon declares, here is a light in this child, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Hidden stars, yet shining out into the darkness, of the world. And Paul encourages these people long ago in Philippi that they are stars shining in the universe as they hold out the word of life. Stars can't stop shining. That's what they are, and neither can we. We are made as followers of Jesus to shine. And yet when you look into the night sky, oh yeah, you see the points of light, and yet the darkness seems much bigger and much deeper than the light. And in our world, sometimes we think the darkness is huge. We hear it on the news, we read it in the newspapers and on the internet, and we wonder, in the face of such darkness, what difference can my light make? What difference together can we make? Of Jesus, John says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. That's true through the ages of the universe, The light of the stars fills the darkness, working with the purpose of God to create and sustain lives, and it's true of our lives. You shine into the darkness. I had to start filling in the church calendar this week. I haven't finished it yet. It took me all Tuesday night just to get the bare bones of it together. It's on the web. It's ordinary stuff. It's much the same as last year. And yet, God's light shines through it. God's light shines through those of you who meet together in the Ivy Street knitting group to bring light to people whose lives are dim. The light shines as Little Sparkler gathered in here on Tuesday and Friday to share in the Christmas story together. And the light shines as we meet with those families every week. The light shone in the family carols last Sunday and will shine tonight as we gather together with our family and friends at the carol service. The light shone at the Solos Christmas party that I attended a few weeks ago, and at the Holiday at Home event on Thursday, and in Helpline, and at the food bank. Light shone to the three people who turned up this week in need of help. Light shines through the work that goes on week by week in the youth work and the children's work and the family work. Light shines as we prepare to serve people on Christmas Day. Light shines as you live out your lives, wherever your journeys take you through the week. Jesus shines. Our light fills the darkness, pulse by pulse, photon by photon, and the darkness has not overcome it. So this night, as you leave carols by candlelight, if it's clear, look up. Please, look up. Look for the comet, yes. But remember Jesus, born as one of us, and yet who is the creator and sustainer of all things, the stars, the planets, life, and you. Remember God's purpose worked out in the history in Jesus, and know that the power and love and purpose is still at work within you and within us, no matter how bright you feel. Whether you're on your own, shining away in a dark place, or together as a church, let us shine as we hold on to the words of life as we look to Jesus. And this Christmas, fill the darkness and help people to see that great is the work of the Lord in you. And as they look at Jesus' light shining in you, help them take delight in not only the stars, but in Jesus at work in you and through you.